We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
It's good to be back with you again on a Wednesday night. I'm glad that the pastor hasn't bought any presents yet, and Chad doesn't really sing any Christmas songs, and doesn't make me feel bad. Because I always get nervous around Christmas time, and I always get nervous when I get ready to preach because I like to listen to what they're singing. And I knew that it would be Christmas, and I knew that there would be some Christmas songs, but I'm not going to speak about Christmas tonight for sure. I would have liked to be honest with you, but I'm going to speak to you tonight about rising above evil. And if you'll take your Bible and turn over to Psalm 37, I'd like to just open up by reading just down into verse number 3, and then we'll look at several other verses down below that, but follow along if you will. This is the Psalm of David. David understands probably what we are grappling with tonight in our world. And in Psalm 37, verse number 1, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down, will dwell in the land, wither as the green herbs. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Now, Heavenly Father, we are living in some very distressful times. And Lord, we come tonight asking you to help us, enable us, empower us to live in the times that you've so designated for us to live. And I pray as the Word of God goes forth tonight, it'll touch hearts, change lives, and enable us to live as you'd have us live. Bless now the preaching of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, your pastor called me when I was up in Omaha, Nebraska, and asked me if I would go on standby to preach for him. Of course, I'd always preach every opportunity I had. And I said, "Wow, Todd, this is a good thing because they canceled the Wednesday night service up there." And I had a message that I had written, and it was in 1 Peter, how to walk a successful life. And so I thought, wow, that's good. That fills that gap. But one thing I've learned with God in my life, at least as a pastor, rarely will God give me a message for one place to use somewhere else. For me, it doesn't work. And so we experienced a horrific attack in our country last week. And I'm sure many of you, as I can speak for myself, were very upset. And I started praying about what to preach when I came back and really didn't have anything in mind. And probably watching more television than I should, looking for clues to things, and by the time I get to the airport Wednesday to fly back, I'm pretty wound up. As a matter of fact, when we went up to Omaha, believe it or not, we pulled into the dock. I didn't tell you this, Todd, and I told my wife something's wrong here. So I said the pilot got up, and there's people all standing in the front, and they escorted a guy off the airplane. So I'm thinking on the way down, I don't want any of this. They told us we had to get to the airport. So on my mind is all these troubles, and I'm sitting on the airplane, and I got my iPad out, and the Lord said, "Tom," he said, "this is what I want you to preach next Wednesday night." And here's the thought that he gave to me. It comes right out of verse number 1 when he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." And what he says here, he makes it very clear. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the wicked, the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb." He said, "Listen, that's what I want you to preach about." And while I was sitting on the airplane, the Lord gave me another verse right away that popped in my head that for years had spun around in my head, and that's in 2 Timothy 3:16. When Paul said this to young Timothy, he said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." In plain words, it's going to get, as we move to the end times, things are going to become terrible. And the ironic thing is, before we ever left to fly up to Omaha for Thanksgiving, I shared a verse with my wife in one of our morning devotions that comes out of Luke chapter 21 and verse number 9. And it's interesting because for years I would preach this, but out of a different passage. It only occurs here in this one passage out of the Synoptic Gospels. It says, "But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not afraid, for those things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." And I never preached that particular verse out of that section of Scripture, so I went back and I looked at that word commotion. What does that word commotion in the Greek mean? Well, that word means to us disorder or instability. And so this is what Jesus said. As we get to the end times, we are going to have instability. We're going to, I was thinking to myself, confusion. And while I was sitting on that airplane, I was thinking to myself, God, you brought me into this world. You brought me to this time. You would expect me to live through this time, as well as every other Christian. So what should I do? Now, I know my first thoughts weren't pure thoughts. My first actions weren't the best of actions. But I realized that as I studied this scripture, God gave me some five thoughts to think about, five things to do that you and I can do to disarm evil. And here they are tonight if you have a handout. Number one, do not waver in your faith. Look at verse number 3. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." And so the idea here, David is saying, listen, don't fret yourself because of evildoers, but the thing that you need to do is you need to trust in the Lord. And here's my personal assessment of things. I believe that as we grow closer to the return of Christ, there is going to be a falling away. I believe you see it in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. Jesus makes this astounding statement to his disciples. He says this, "Will I find faith when I return?" That tells me things must be going to get pretty tough. And so he says, listen, trust in the Lord. Now notice what else you have to do. It's not only trusting. We have to keep going. Notice what he says. And do good. Now I'm going to tell you the best, the greatest place that you and I can do good in our lives is right inside the local church. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if there's ever going to be revival, it's going to come out of the local church. And it's going to come out of God's people deciding once and for all that I'm going to trust God and I'm going to do good. Can use your spiritual gifts to a greater degree in this church than anywhere else. And I believe that we are going to be pushed to trust in God. I believe there's a peeling away taking place. And so David says, listen, trust in the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 23, you might write this down. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised." Don't waver. I'm going to say this tonight because this is exactly what I believe is going on. I believe that Satan knows that the end is near. And I know that Satan cannot keep a Christian out of heaven, but he can definitely neutralize him. And he's kicking up his heels. And you and I are going to be forced somewhere along the line to make a decision. Am I going to continue to trust the Lord, or am I going to fall by the wayside? Number two, do not lose your joy. Don't lose your joy. Notice what he says in verse number 4. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." Here's a problem tonight. We find joy in happenings. Our joy ought to be in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now listen to me carefully tonight. If you've been saved for any length of time and you read the Bible, you know who wins. We do. Amen? Say that again if you believe it, say amen. And we ought to live like we're the winners. When I was in high school, we had this one team. We whooped them every year. That was my great week. And it was a good feeling. He said, "You ever feel bad about it?" "No. Probably should have. But I'm glad we win. Amen." I don't know about you, but I like winning. Going. And we shouldn't lose our joy. Listen, what keeps us going is our relationship with Jesus Christ. It says, "Delight thyself in the Lord." Well, you ought to delight yourself in the fact that you know how it's going to turn out. You know that you're on your way to heaven. You know that God is never going to leave nor forsake you. You can have joy in a world where there's no joy. And we ought to be happy people. Sometimes you get around Christians, I'm telling you, they are the grumpiest things there are. I don't know how you get saved and become a grump. I don't ever understand that. I mean, most Baptists, I'm going to tell you something, you're never going to know they own teeth till they get to heaven. And if they yell hallelujah or sang something in church, it was a little upbeat, and they say, "Oh, Lord, I'm leaving." I don't know how you become spiritual by becoming grumpy. But here's what I'm telling you. Don't lose your joy. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Listen, God is still going to bless us through all of this. Did you know that? It doesn't matter what's going on out there. God is still going to bless us. And Psalm 51, verse 12, write this down. This always has, within my heart, struck a chord with me. And here's David. And he makes this statement about himself. "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Have you lost the joy of your salvation tonight? You just come to church and you go through the motions? For 30-some years of my life, I lived as a lost man. I had nothing to be happy about. I had no direction in my life. To be quite honest with you, I didn't really care about anything. The day I got saved, the Lord put such a joy in my heart. I don't care. I don't ever want to forget that. I don't care how tough it gets. I don't care what happens. I don't want to lose the joy of my salvation. I am glad tonight that I'm on my way to heaven. How about you? Amen. And you know what? Pastor said he hadn't bought any presents yet. I put my hand up and said I didn't, but I did buy one today. Yesterday I bought one. Yeah, I bought it for you. Amen. I'm giving you all my bills from last year. No. I actually did. My wife will tell you, I don't buy nothing. Listen, when you open my wallet, it squeaks. And so does some of yours. Have you lost your joy? Come on, let's be honest tonight. Is your joy going to be in what you get for Christmas? Or what you don't get? I spent 18 years in a children's home. I know what it's like to get an orange. I know what it's like to get a what they call a white elephant gift, where you get a shoebox and inside of it's a half-glued model. And the rest of the glue is broke open. It's all over everything. I hope you're not looking for that kind of joy, because that'll let you down. We're going to have to keep our joy. We're going to have to know that this ends well for us. For us, we can be happy. Number three, do not go it alone. Do not go it alone. Look at verse number 5. He says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Now, that word "commit" is an interesting word, because it doesn't come with the idea that I'm going to commit to this or I'm going to commit to that. Actually, if you look this word up in the Hebrew, this word comes to us with the idea of rolling something off of yourself and rolling it onto someone else. So the idea here is that I'm going to roll all my whole self to the Lord. I'm going to let the Lord carry all of this. I'm just going to really commit my whole self over to God. Can I tell you tonight, if you don't totally sell out before this is all done, and this world is going to get pretty terrible, I can assure you, you're going to have a struggle making it. Every one of us are going to be forced, I am convinced, to really commit, roll things over to the Lord and give them to Him. The Bible says that in the last days, it says men's hearts will fail them. The Bible says that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. And there are things that you and I are carrying tonight that we need to roll it off ourselves, and we need to roll it onto the Lord and say, Lord, this is for you to carry. You know, Jesus said, listen, take up your cross and follow me. My burdens are light. And if we're going to rise above evil, and if we're going to rise above the things that are going on in this world tonight, then you and I are going to have to commit ourselves to the Lord and the things that we're holding on to, we got to let go. You know, I talked to somebody here a while back. They made it. I've heard this, I don't know how many times. I think I said this to you already one time in a message. She came down with cancer. And she said, you know what? She said, you're not in control of nothing. You may think you are, but you're not. And for the first time in my life, I really had thought about and thought that through. What are you unwilling to give the Lord tonight? What are you trying to carry? You trying to go it alone? The Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And David said, listen, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust him. Can I tell you, every time you don't, the next time you're not trusting him, you're trusting yourself. The next time something happens into your life, ask yourself, who is the first person I'm going to talk to? And if it's not the Lord, you're not trusting God. If the first thing you think of is, I'm going to call this person or I'm going to call that person, and you don't call upon the Lord, you got a problem. And I personally think that we as a family of God, we have to become tighter knit. We have to depend on one another. We were never designed to go it alone. And I've seen Christians for years in my ministry try to go it alone. Until you have to go and visit with them and say, look, come on, you can't do this on your own. And I believe that the things that are going to happen in this world, we haven't seen the half of them yet. I remember Todd was with us over in England when 9/11 happened. And his office was outside of mine, and he had the news on. And he said, Dad, you got to come see this. And he told me what had happened, and I said, he said, I'm telling you, you need to come see this. And so I went over and looked at it. Boy, it was just unbelievable. But you know what we witnessed at the church? We witnessed at the church backslidden Christians coming to church, half-hearted committed Christians recommitting themselves to the Lord. And I thought, oh, this is great. Until it was over. Then they went back, started doing their own thing again, and started drifting from the Lord. If I understand my Bible correctly, the time is going to come when we won't be able to do that. God never intended for us to go it alone. Isaiah 10 says this, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God is saying, listen, let me help you. Don't go through this alone. And I'm convinced that when evil rises its head, it tries to isolate the Christian. It tries to, you know, Satan is a master at scaring people. That's why the psalmist said, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it comes. Because Satan likes to spoof you and scare you. How many of you like to scare people? All right, nobody's going to tell the truth here tonight. How many of you scared somebody in their life? I like to scare people sometimes. I'm not going to lie to you. I had a cleaning lady work for me one time. I'm telling you a couple times until you tell you going, I say, boo! Anyhow, listen to me. Let me help you with something. That's how Satan operates. We shouldn't be afraid. Don't go it alone. We're not supposed to go it alone. Number four, don't get impatient. Don't get impatient. Here's probably one of the hardest things for us to do in the time in which we live in verse 7. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of him, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Listen, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for God. God is working a plan. And we have a hard time resting. You know why a lot of people can't sleep at night? You can't sleep at night. I'm not saying everyone, but I'm saying a lot of people can't sleep at night because they simply can't trust in anybody or anything. They don't trust nothing. And they can't sleep. We have to rest and wait. They don't feel secure. And so the idea is we have to rest and wait patiently for God. God is working a plan out. You know, I thought for a long time in my ministry, this is what I thought. I thought, okay, when the last person gets saved, the rapture takes place. That's exactly what I thought. I was told that by a preacher in my early ministry. I bought into that, never studied it out. I don't believe that anymore. I believe we're going to have to wait on the Lord. And we don't like to wait. One of the things I learned when I came back to America after being gone for 33 and a half years, you can get anything you want now. Right now. I mean, if you want to get in debt, you can get in debt right away. You can. It's shocking to me. In England, they roll the streets up at 5 or 6 o'clock at night. Banks don't open until 9, 10, close at 4. They even have holidays over there they call bank holidays because the bank doesn't open. It's a holiday. But in America, we want it all now. All of it. We want it now. In Christianity, it doesn't work that way. Listen, I wish this stuff would go away. I wish God would come for us, but he's going to finish his course. And we got to rest in the Lord. We got to trust that God knows what's going on, even if people in places of authority who know better deny it. And we got to learn to rest. The sad thing is many of us, we don't rest any longer. In Psalm 15, verse 9, the Bible says this, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. I'm glad tonight that God has it under control. Amen. And everything that's taking place, he knows from the end. Nothing surprises him. He knows the beginning from the end. And the way that we rise above evil is to understand, listen, I can rest in this. I can rest in the Lord knowing that God is on the throne. The Bible says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And he move it any way he so desire. You know, in Psalm 16, verse 9, I should say in Psalm 37, verse 34, it says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off. Wait on the Lord. I am convinced that so many of us never receive the fullest of God's blessings in life because we don't wait on the Lord. We settle for second best. We settle for what we think is really the best thing for us. And only God knows what is really good for us. And we don't wait. We get impatient. We don't rest. Hey, can I tell you, when you walk into a store and something's on sale, it doesn't mean it's God's will for you to own it. That's what young GIs do. Well, Ethel, look at this. My golly, it's $100 off. That doesn't mean it's for you. It might be Satan say, here you go. I bet if I were to ask how many of you are in debt tonight, you'd probably put your hands up all over the place. I won't ask you to do it. But we get that way in life because we're not patient. It says every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. You have to wait for them to come. And so we're going to have to rest in the Lord. Satan is going to try and disrupt us. The world has this notion to take religion. If it can dismiss religion, if it can control religion, if it can take religion off of the scene, it'll be better off. Can I tell you what America needs tonight? Revival. Wholesale revival. I hear people say, well, personal revival is good enough. No, it's not. We need a great awakening. We need an awakening that the government can't turn its head to. I studied many of the revivals. In fact, I'm reading another book on it. I've read so many books about revival. I'm reading another one right now. Folks, I'm here to tell you, it takes less people than are in this auditorium tonight to bring revival. All it takes is 1, 2, 3. It doesn't take the whole auditorium. And could you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program, everybody in Washington is going to church today. Don't take Highway 27, it's blocked. Even the president can't leave church. Imagine something like that. It's possible. If you believe it, say amen. Yeah, it's possible. Here's the thing. This is what I discovered. We don't want it. Your pastor talks about it all the time. You'd have to come to church Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. You'd be baptized until 10, 11 o'clock at night. You'd be getting up in the morning and coming back to worship again. There'd be people here all night laying on the floor praying. But could you imagine what could happen? The great merchants came back from South Africa after the great revivals broke out. And as they came up over the horizon, they were moved because people were walking that were once laying on the ground were standing up and painted white. People were walking down the streets with their husbands and wives. The pubs of Europe and England were shut. And the sailor said, what happened? Revival came. I'd love to see revival. I really would. And I've personally been under this persuasion. Your pastor believes in it too. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You guys have right here what it takes. If you want it. If you want it. Here's the last thing. This is my problem right here. Number 5, don't give in to anger. I get angry every time I see something like what's happened last week. I get angry. And I get upset. And in verse number 8 it says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any way, in any wise, to do evil. We're not supposed to do that. But I get angry. And I'm sure most of you in here too get angry. You can't really start to help someone until you feel sorry for them. But we get angry. And anger is a terrible thing because it drives us. We make poor choices. I mean, you can hardly drive down up here on the highway on Little up here and not see angry drivers. I mean, they're there all over the place every day. Your pastor told me, said, now, Dad, stay off of 19 if you can. Man. Listen, I thought Europeans were bad. Not so. We get angry pretty easy. Now, but we should be righteous indignation. Don't be fooled. There is. But we should be careful about our anger. Because anger can cause us to do things we shouldn't do, think things we shouldn't think. And here's the sad thing. Sometimes it can cause us to try to play God. James 1:19 says this, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak." Boy, that's interesting. "Slow to wrath." Listen to this. "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Only God can carry out this kind of thing. Can I tell you what this boils down to tonight? If you don't remember anything I tell you tonight, I'm going to tell you what this boils down to. There's two philosophies in the world tonight. One group is interested, Christians are interested in life and the fullness of life. The other group is interested in death and what comes after death. In Christianity, it boils down to this. There's only two of them. Here it is. The way to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone else believes in works. I don't care how you drive it, how you put it together, that's what it comes down to. It's either faith or works. Now, you have to go to the cross. The work of Christ is complete on the cross. Amen. We believe by faith. Ephesians says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If you could work your way to heaven, then something is wrong at Calvary. But there are those today who think that, listen, I can do this and I can do that, and I can win favor with God. You can't win favor. He sees the blood of Jesus. Because when God looks at us, He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you this tonight. Are you upset? Verse 1 and 2 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." That's what God showed me on that airplane. He said, "Tom, stop fretting. Just stop it. Yes, it hurts. And yes, I don't like it. But we have a great God, amen? And we have a God that will stand by us and see us through it. We are living in a time that God has predetermined for us to live in. And what God showed me on that airplane is, I'll enable you to live through this time if you'll let me. But we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to believe this, amen? We're going to have to live by this. And we're going to have to understand that as time goes on, evil is going to wax worse and worse. Jesus said in His own words, commotions, disorder. We're going to have that. But what it ought to do for us, it ought to instill upon us that we have the facts. Amen. We know the truth. And we know how it ends. But until then, we need to be praying people, worshiping people. Your pastor said tonight about filling the church. I don't think there's anything wrong by saying something like that. You ought to be able to fill the parking lot too. Let them stand out there. When we first went to Romania after communism fell, it was not uncommon to see people standing on the outside of the church. People wanted church so bad. I think we ought to have those days again. Amen. In South Wales, I'm going to say this and I'll close. In South Wales, during the revivals, the coal miners could set their alarm clock by the people walking by the window in the morning. So many people at 6 o'clock. The pit-pat of the pattering. There's so many people. Wouldn't that be a great thing to see again?
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.